I just said that.
I know you just said that.
Okay, I'm not sure where you're going with this.
Well, I'm not sure where you're going with this.
That's what I just said.
That's what I'm saying to you.
All right.
All right. Dave Lundy, Chris Roebling in studio for another episode of Touche here on the Download. Lots to talk about. We agree on everything, so I don't know what we're going to do tonight.
Is this as close as we get to the longest day of the year, or we were on just before the longest day?
Yeah, you're right.
It's pretty darn.
I know.
It's like midday sun out there.
It looks like it's 3 o'clock.
Lovely. Yeah. It's absolutely perfect evening.
All right. The Congressional Budget Office is out with its estimation of what the cost would be for the Senate healthcare bill. We've argued this before, but Dave, not great numbers. I mean, once again, sort of sets this grim picture of what healthcare is going to look like in the next 10 years.
Well, I am so gratified that the U.S. Senate decided, the Republicans in the U.S. Senate decided, they were going to listen to the president, who said the House bill was too mean, and the 23 million people the House bill would have cut off, and so now you're only going to have 22 million lose insurance while you impose lifetime caps in some states, while you increase premiums by 20% next year and cut 14 million people off.
What's good about this, Chris?
Okay, David, what's your idea?
My idea is let's fix the marketplaces, fix Obamacare, make sure that the insurance companies are protected, stop sabotaging it, sit down with Republicans and Democrats and work together. Touche!
And we should trust you because you got it right the first time?
Let's see. We got 20%, the lowest uninsured rates in modern history. Yeah, I feel pretty good about that. Thanks very much.
Well, I think we're still about, I don't know, 35 million people uninsured in the country.
What's good about it, Chris? What do you like about
it? What's good about it is there are two competing visions for how something as important as healthcare should be allocated in a free economy, in a free society. And one of them is represented by David, and that's sort of top-down government control and one size fits all, and you have to do what we tell you. Like, you have to pay the fine or buy the insurance policy that's not right for you.
Just like when you're car insurance.
That's the David program. Our program, I think the Enlightened program, is that there are any number of ways for people to insure themselves and to take care of themselves, and that what we need and what we've had in this country since World War II, because of the disruptions in the marketplace caused by the coming home of troops after World War II, is just this increasing curve of government intervention. We need transparency in the market. We need certainty in the market. We need competition in the market. None of that comes from the greater hand of government, which is being animated by David Lundy.
Why has the government been involved since World War II? Because prices have become unaffordable?
No, government was involved. Government's been involved. Government created Medicare. Government created the GI Bill. Government put veterans on health, gave veterans health insurance and health care. The government has been involved in health insurance. In health care in this country for literally generations. There's nothing inherently wrong with the government being involved. It needs to be a balance. Really? So you would advocate getting rid of Medicare then, I assume?
No, I think what we have...
Well, if you don't like government involvement, you got to get rid of Medicare.
That's not true.
Yes, you do.
First of all, you said there's nothing inherently wrong with government involvement.
Yes.
What I'm talking about is government giving money to people who need choices so that people can make a decision. Government doesn't allocate those resources for the people. And David forgets his history. Here's why government got involved after World War II. We had wage and price controls in the late 40s to moderate the impact of troops coming home. May have been a good idea, may have been a bad idea. Milton Friedman actually worked on it. But in any case, employers could not reward employees with wage differentials. And so employers went to Congress and said, "We, under wage and price controls, we cannot change wages. We want to start giving benefits." And Congress said, "Really? Like what?" And they said, "We would like to give health care so that when people come work for us, they get health care. But in exchange for that, Congress, we would like to be able to deduct that on our income taxes." Congress said, thinking this is a great idea, they said, "Sure, we'll let you deduct that." And that was the first real step of government into the marketplace.
And would you have opposed that, Chris? Because it sounds like
it doesn't matter.
No,
what
you just said that government cannot be involved.
I'm sorry, David, you're not
healthcare.
Able to state my position. My position is,
well, you're not able to state your position.
I'm doing a better job than you are with yours, because look at the results of Obamacare. I go back to my original. You didn't get it right the first time. Why should we trust you this time? But here's the deal. We have not looked architectonically at all of these interventions in the market. David is right to point out Medicaid and Medicare and eventually catastrophic insurance. And we carved out something for kids with CHIPS. We've done a lot of different things. Then we have segments. I live in Alaska. The Bureau of Indian Affairs ran healthcare in Alaska. There are other people who are veterans. And veterans' healthcare is run by a single-payer program, and people die waiting for procedures, just like they do in Canada and in the UK.
All right, let me
and
ask
that's what David wants for all
well,
of us.
Let me
death.
Ask, yeah. Let me ask the question.
Government
though, because
control.
The way that we've heard this over and over is, you know, from cynics and critics that this is just a redistribution of wealth, that we're giving money to back to the wealthy because the Obamacare was essentially run by taxing rich people. Is that what you see, Dave?
Well, that is what President Obama said, and President Obama is right, because you're giving an $800 billion tax cut. You're cutting Medicaid, $800 billion worth, and giving it as a tax break to the wealthy. Now, for wealthy people, that's awesome. I think they said the top 400 people are going to get enough of a tax break to pay for Medicaid for 750,000 people. So for people like Chris, this doesn't matter. It's okay. It's fine. But what about the people on Medicaid who are disabled? What about the people on Medicaid who are going to get cut off of Medicaid or not get services? Or I was watching a program the other night where this poor a guy in a wheelchair lives with his family. But under the proposed Republican health care bill, he's going to get thrown into an institution
state. That guy, Paul Ryan, is throwing that guy in a volcano. You mixed that one up.
No, this is a fact, and that's his
Paul
life.
Ryan is going up to the edge of the volcano and tossing the guy in.
Which
and
it's is great be a for you to mock
you say
that.
To
it's
the
great
idea
for you
that
to mock that, but you're not the one who's about to lose your health insurance and have to be moving out of your home.
Neither is that guy. These are scare tactics from Democrats.
No, these are facts. These are people. And that's what the CBO said.
Okay.
This bill is horrible. It is cruel. Okay. It is horrific.
Okay, great.
Tell us why it's not.
Let me tell you something.
Tell us.
What we are talking about here is a unclean hands on the part of David and all of the Democrats who came up with Medicaid funding under the federal program, which for the first few years was 100% and then went down to 90% and eventually went over under for the states so that states that would sign up like Ohio early on saying, we want the free money from Washington to take care of more people, didn't have a funding source. And when we talk about taxes, we've got $2 trillion of spending already on Obamacare. And how much have the taxes been to pay for that? $1 trillion. We are in the middle of a fiscal crisis. So, David, it is
Chris
so
is
easy
changing
for
the subject.
No,
you're changing the subject because you refuse to defend this proposal that is going to be voted on.
I absolutely defend. And when we have an hour on Chicago Tonight, I'll be able to go into even more detail.
I'm waiting for
but
one point
you,
in your favor.
Well, here,
point to suggest
to,
why
I'm sorry,
this is
but
good.
We are,
not Obamacare is
we
bad, but why is this good?
Because we're transitioning people. We've created four different ways for people who are currently on Medicaid to transition out of that. And that means people are going to be back in the private health insurance sector buying what they want. Here's number
Poor
two.
Poor people can't
I'm sorry,
do that.
You asked me to say that. That's why the transition
that's why
is
22 million are getting
sorry,
thrown off.
The transition is tax credits to empower those people to be able to buy
tax
what they want.
Tax credits don't
and
pay
number,
for insurance. They don't.
Number three, we've eliminated the mandate. So you don't have to buy something that doesn't work for you. And number four, we've eliminated the tax. So we're not going to be taxing everybody for a colossal failed behemoth and carcass.
Chris Roebling, Dave Lundy, touche, getting heated up here. And this is just round one. We got round two and round three. We've got travel ban and we've got the
Russia
investigation coming up here on Touche. Stay with us.
I just said that.
I know you just said that.
Okay, I'm not sure where you're going with this.
Well, I'm not sure where you're going with this.
That's what I just said.
Well, that's what I'm saying to you.
All right.
Touché.
All right, Dave Lundy, Chris Roebling in studio tonight. Let's talk travel ban, victory for the Trump administration.
Well, no, it's not a victory. It's a victory for every American. It's the victory of law over politics. This is exactly what we said would happen. The Fourth Circuit and the Ninth Circuit played their games and got their press and acted out like the other resistance movement, or what are they called, resistors or whatever they're supposed to be. Anyway, that, you know, that was all ridiculous and non-legal, because the Fourth Circuit in Richmond, Virginia, actually admitted that had the same document been issued by, say, President John Kerry, President David Lundy, or Justin, it would have been legal. Okay, so they were saying, for the first time in supposed constitutional jurisprudence,
saying there was precedent.
You go outside of the document. Of course, that was ridiculous, and everybody knew it. And now there is a small exception, which the Trump people say existed anyway, but they made it explicit, and that is for folks who have had some link to the United States, to a person or institution, they are being taken care of.
Now, that I mentioned this a little bit earlier, Dave. I mean, this is a little bit of politics in the way that a lot of the banned countries that are already on this quote-unquote travel ban, they're not letting those guys in anyway. It's not like, you know, people from Yemen can hop a plane right now and just come into the United States without thorough checks and balance. How much of this is a political victory for Donald Trump?
Well, first of all, this is 100% politics, because remember, this is not a permanent. This is a 90-day travel ban, which they said in January was absolutely urgent. 150 days ago, they said it was absolutely urgent that we have our 90-day temporary travel ban. Well, guess what? That's 150 days ago. This is all a lot of smoke and mirrors to satisfy the campaign promise, which, by the way, was the point.
Is that a cynical
of the
approach,
the
though,
fourth.
Chris? I mean, because if the President of the United States...
absolutely substantive. This is not cynical.
Well,
it's not
substantive. What I'm saying is it cynical on Dave's part to say
yes,
that...
He lost.
90, no, no, no.
He was
Let
wrong.
Let me finish. I'm actually making a point for you, Chris. But I'm just saying that the President, with the safety of the country in mind, wanted to do a 90-day ban from these countries because he had intel on something that...
But he didn't.
But that's the cynical approach. But
no,
the idea
it's the factual approach.
No, David, you don't know what he had.
No, we
you
no,
don't
there's
know what
zero
he had.
Evidence. And nobody from these
David,
countries has ever been involved in a terrorist attack.
David.
Ever.
You know, it's not just it's people from the countries. It's
countries that Trump did business with have been involved in terrorist attacks. Those were excluded from the ban.
It's not just the people from the countries. I mean, it's not just people of the countries. It's people from the countries. And there's no question that we weren't getting any data on who they were. And there were people coming in. So it wasn't, this is not just for show. And there is most important, there is the simple point, which has never been contradicted until Trump took office. And that is that the president has, according to Congress,
the authority.
This
right.
is not just,
right.
This is not just the Constitution, but Congress gave all president. Obama did exactly the same thing with Iraq at the
no,
time.
No, he didn't.
Yes,
not
he did.
Remotely close.
He did.
No, Chris, you can't make up your own facts.
I'm sorry,
what
David.
Obama did
you know, you
with
have
Iraq.
These little phrases. Obama said, I am stopping immigration. We're doing extra
no,
screening.
No, they were not processing new immigration applications. They did not stop people at airports. I'm sorry, Chris. You're not entitled
people,
to your own facts.
I'm sorry, David. What the history
And they certainly
books
didn't stop people
show,
with green cards. And they certainly didn't stop people on student visas.
And that didn't happen here either.
Yes, okay? It did.
There
you
were
guys
mistakes.
I was in the airport.
There were mistakes made on that first
you
one.
You guys
Please.
Are surly tonight. All right, let's get to the round three, which is Russia.
Well, wait, I want to make another point. Okay. This is a serious turning point where the collusion idea is gone.
No.
Now the obstruction idea is deflating.
No.
Now. And the travel ban opposition has finally been shown for what it is.
No.
And so you've got the country is coming back around, and guys like David who have got to say what they want to say because of who they are and where they come from. They're going to keep saying it no matter what, but the rest of us are moving on. And we're going to have a new healthcare program shortly we'll have a conference committee meeting to reconcile the Senate and the House versions.
Are you worried that that there could be a way that it doesn't get through the Senate?
Well, sure, but I think Mitch McConnell knows what he's doing, and he's going to deliver a victory for the president.
The Republicans, in a strange way, the White House has said this. Others have said this as well. If Obama knew about Russian hacking, and he should have done more as president when he had the ability to do so in 2016, Democrats are kind of rolling their eyes at that. The idea that imagine a world where the president would come out and say someone's trying to rig the election for Donald Trump. It would have been mayhem.
Oh, yeah. No, look, I think there's two points here. First of all, I am so glad that the president has finally admitted that the Russians meddled in this election, although Sean Spicer today walked that back some. He said, well, it's probably Russia, but it's probably other countries too. So Donald Trump, contrary to what Chris bellowed last night on Beyond the Beltway and what he bellowed at me when I was on Beyond the Beltway, the president has never admitted that Russia meddled in the election. And even now he can't come right out and say it. So I think that's important. And yet he's done nothing about it. There was supposed to be a 90-day plan to deal with this. He's done nothing about it. According to Jeff Sessions, when he testified, he hadn't even been in a briefing on it.
No, Jeff Sessions was, hold on a second. Jeff Sessions recused himself, and so he wasn't in the briefings.
No, not on national security matters. He recused himself from the criminal investigation of the president.
Trying to have it both ways. Look, here is the point. The point is CNN fired the three people who came up with the phony story linking Trump to Russia today. They accepted the resignations of Frank Thomas, I think his name is.
Thomas Frank.
Yeah. Thomas Frank and Eric Lichtblau, the Pulitzer Prize winning former New York Times reporter who went to CNN with great fanfare and is now 6 months later out on the street. Hmm. And so I think the vast, as is indicated by the results in South Carolina, Georgia, Kansas, Montana, the rest of the country is not seeing this as the Baltimore or the Boston Washington corridor and my friend Dave Lundy. The rest of this country sees Democrats desperately grasping for what they are and understands that the real issue confronting this country is activating the economy, which is going to happen with a tax bill, which will come after the health bill.
Which is not, because the president has not proposed a tax bill. The president proposed a one-pager.
Yeah.
There is no tax bill.
And the only thing I would say, just as a, I mean, because I love you guys so much, and you're right, the
we love
employees that were that resigned, that was not specifically
that was specifically for the report.
I'm reading it right now. CNN Thomas Frank, itself a reporter wrote. For CNN Investigates, last Thursday appeared to have a compelling exclusive. The Senate Intelligence Committee reported Frank was investigating a Russian investment fund. That turned out to not be true. That's what it's about. But I'm just saying, it's not the whole thing.
In other words, it's not the hundreds of stories that have been written. CNN has said that standard editorial practice
changing
was not
the subject
met.
Again.
No, this is the falsehoods right. behind the Democrat attempt to nullify the election in November.
Okay. Chris Rowling,
they were fired
Dave
because
Lundy.
They went with a report, a story about Russia and Trump that wasn't true.
There you're right. You got you. That's right, right there.
Yes,
Dave
that
Lundy,
was right.
Chris
one
Rowling.
Moment of today's show, Chris was telling
one
the
moment
truth.
In time. Great touche tonight, guys.